You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 23rd, 2020, this news breaking. A federal judge ordering Michael Cohen to be released from prison, saying his rights were violated. Michael Cohen had, of course, been sentenced on tax evasion and other cases as well. Michael Cohen, who had at one time served as an attorney for President Trump, he was set free because of the COVID-19 concern, so he would not be exposed possibly in the prison. But he had instructions: you cannot be working and writing on any book, and you cannot go out to restaurants, things of that nature. Well, he did both, apparently. And the judge has now decided, after listening to the attorneys on behalf of Cohen, saying that his order to go back to prison was simply retaliatory over his plan to do a book. So he says he can get out of prison, released back to home confinement. Speaking of COVID-19... you're seeing different stories continue to come out as to how many cases we have, how bad it's going to get. I can't keep up with the numbers game. If you can, good luck to you. They're now saying, of course, we could expect 4 million reported cases anytime soon. That would not surprise me. We're doing more testing. CDC has already confirmed repeatedly we already had 10 to maybe 15% of the entire population that has COVID-19 symptoms, but not having any problems with it, unaware of it. And President Trump even took time to, despite the criticism he's been getting from New York Governor Cuomo, President Trump even kind of gave him a pass, said, well, he's had a rough time up there. He made what he thought might be a good idea, ordering nursing homes to accept COVID patients. It was a bad idea, but I assume he's probably doing the best he can up there. He gives them that kind of pass. Do you think he's going to get anything like that? President Trump saying Cuomo's nursing home policy was a mistake, but he's worked very hard. In the meantime, Seattle and other King County schools in the state of Washington State plan to go online only in this fall. They're not going to open any of their major schools in the state of Washington this year. Not for in-person student activities and teaching. Operation Legend launched yesterday. As the president said, we're going to start sending in federal agents where needed, where cities cannot or will not or have not been able to control the street violence and everything else going on. Either because their forces are strained too thin because of protests which become riots, or they're just not doing what they need to protect their citizens. And of course, the backlash started immediately. Immediately. You've got Congressman Eric Swalwell posting a comment on an opinion piece saying that the president clearly hopes this show of force will boost his flagging reelection campaign. And you got MSNBC saying this is a conspiracy, Trump declaring martial law before it's over with to stay in power. Federal officers in Portland, by the way, trying to protect that federal courthouse. At least four of them, let me correct that, at least three may not recover their vision because laser lights were aimed at their eyes. Since that time, federal agents are now given protective goggles. A Portland city commissioner had claimed that actually police saboteurs were provoking and starting all the fires, that they were actually undercover police officers going out trying to start all this. She had no proof. It just sounded like a good story. The Portland Police Association president quickly slammed the Portland City Commissioner for an outlandish accusation, saying, give us evidence and do it now. Well, when pressed, the commissioner had to say, I was wrong. I need to apologize about that information. Meanwhile, the Portland mayor tries to get with it, joining the crowd last night, gets a little tear gas, probably thought, this shows that I'm with the struggle. But you know what happened? The protesters turned on him. They didn't want him there. And then they started demanding he do other things. He's not doing enough for them. And then they start saying, you should leave office. They started calling him a fascist. In other words, they turned on him just as quick as they turn on anyone else. We need to be watching. Our first hurricane could be coming ashore. Not immediately for the U.S., but we do have one in the Central Pacific, the first hurricane of the season strengthening. It's named Hurricane Douglas. Could be a Cat 3, at this time aiming for Hawaii. And, of course, we'll have more as we enter and move through the hurricane season.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I told you yesterday this story is going to get bigger and bigger, and we continue to watch it evolve. Yesterday, Planned Parenthood of Greater New York, actually it was announced late Tuesday, but the news broke Wednesday, that it plans to remove the name of the organization's founder, Margaret Sanger, from its flagship abortion facility in New York City, taking her name off of it, off the building. Why? The announcement indicating, and I'm quoting, they need to rename an honorary street sign also that marks the Margaret Sanger Square. Why? And again, to the statement from the board chairman of the Planned Parenthood in New York. The removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproductive harm within communities of color. Previously, Planned Parenthood workers, where they're looking at all these statues being torn down across the nation, they said, and those who were being honored, what about Margaret Sanger? Numerous awards are given out on behalf of the Planned Parenthood, with a Margaret Sanger Award, considered the highest award you could get from Planned Parenthood. Hillary Clinton got one, and she was so proud of it. And she knows the history of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. And so do members of Planned Parenthood, but that's not what they want you to remember. But apparently some of the workers said, we've had enough of it. They issued an open letter. Several hundred Planned Parenthood employees referring to Margaret Sanger saying, Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist white woman. That is a part of history that cannot be changed. Now the day of reckoning has come for them in the cancel culture. And it's not just that Margaret Sanger was founding and creating Planned Parenthood. She also, through her efforts, was doing everything she could to hold black people down. And in fact, the whole idea for her behind abortions was eugenics, to erase the black population or minimize it and or make sure only the brightest would be kept alive. There was at one time in the Jim Crow South, with the support of Margaret Sanger, forced sterilization of, quote, the unfit, maiming via involuntary hysterectomy for thousands of black women in the Jim Crow South. She said, I'm just trying to have birth control and educating the public about sex. She opened the first birth control clinic in the U.S., then established Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And, of course, she began to spread the word. When she founded the American Birth Control League, which later became the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, organizing the first birth clinic to be staffed by all female doctors and a clinic in Harlem. Primarily in Harlem because they knew that's where we would have the most cases of children born out of wedlock that no one would want. I'm looking at a piece written in USA Today by an opinion contributor, Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America. So that gives you the balance as to you know where she's coming from with her opinion. And she states, and I'm going to read part of her article, her opinion piece. All across America, video of activists attacking statues plays on a loop while some political leaders voice their support for removing all reminders of people whose personal histories put them in a negative light. Now, you know all of that. You know that. We know that. And, of course, Pelosi wants to cleanse Confederate statues from the U.S. Capitol. New York Governor Cuomo said that it's removing all these statues, quote, is a healthy expression. But they continue to overlook and just walk right past Planned Parenthood's facility named for Margaret Sanger. In promoting birth control, she had advanced a controversial what was titled, quote, Negro Project. In her autobiography, she spoke about talking to a KKK group advocating for a eugenics approach to breeding for, quote, the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks, those human weeds, which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization. This is the person that the liberals have held up in high esteem all of this time. This is the person that set the road and opened the gates for millions of young black children to be aborted and other minorities, and of course white children. We will never know what we lost in the midst of all of those children who never had a chance for life, who were aborted. Because mama didn't want them, there's going to be too much trouble, whatever the issue. I would never try to second guess a woman for making that decision. If they don't consider it hard, then I would say, lady, you got a problem. You should definitely be concerned about what you've done and now with aborting a child. You want to say it's your decision, your right, your body, go ahead. I always say, what if your mom, your mother, had made that same decision? You wouldn't be here to abort a baby. In a 1939 letter, Sanger wrote to Dr. C.J. Gamble. She urged him to get over his reluctance to hire, quote, a full-time Negro physician, as, quote, colored Negroes can get closer to their own members and more or less lay their cards on the table, which means their ignorance, superstitions, and doubt. This is the woman who got spiritual leaders to work with her. And she wrote, we do not want word to go out that we're trying to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea. So they were using the black churches to promote abortion. I I don't know how many, ever since I launched this program 7-8 years ago, this has been one of those subjects that comes up from time to time. Planned Parenthood, what it's doing, what it's not doing, selling baby parts, denying it, and of course then caught on tape they were. And of course, federal dollars do not go for abortions directly. In the 70s, Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade legalized abortion, but also federal funds not allowed for an actual abortion. But you know how your federal dollars are spent? Will they pay for staff or utilities or rent or a building or equipment? Not the actual abortion. That's how they get around that. Planned Parenthood says, look, we do a lot of things. We do mammogram screenings, and we do teach, birth control. Well, that's normally birth control pills, not talking about abstinence. But that's what they claim. The bottom line is there are a lot of women's health organizations throughout the nation that do that and yet don't carry out abortions. And in the 70s, when the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision legalized abortion, there was a survey that showed that blacks were, quote, significantly less likely to favor abortion than whites. In other words, the black populace was not really in favor of this. Black pastors overall were anti-abortion. Those that kind of bought into it thought of it as, well, maybe it's a way to help a family to be in a crisis if they have another two or three kids. Who knows? But the bottom line is a lot of blacks and black ministers were not in favor of abortion and are not today. They may still be liberal on other issues, but not this issue. Yet in New York City, more black babies are aborted than born alive each year, according to some of the late stats, as quoted by this piece appearing in USA Today. And the abortion industry think tank, the Guttmacher Institute, notes, and I'm quoting here, the abortion rate for black women is almost 5 times that for white women. Where are your Black Lives Matter concerns? Where are your Black Lives Matter concerns? If 5 times as many black children are being aborted than white children, do you think there's an issue there with Black Lives Matter? And yet, this is the way it's been going since Margaret Sanger first opened her first birth control clinic in 1916, and in 21 founded the American Birth Control League, which became Planned Parenthood. And I guess a thing that I'm always amazed at folks that think birth control is just a great idea, a great family planning. I'm always thinking, if you really believe that, if your mother had decided to abort you, what would you even be doing here? And then think about all the millions that have been aborted. Who could be sitting at a restaurant next to you with a family and raising maybe a child themselves or a grandchild at that point that's going to be really able to help defeat all the ills of society? Or maybe who, if they had survived, they would have been the one to do it. We will never know what we've lost. It's just like war to that extent. I've told you repeatedly, one of the losses of war is not so much those who die on the battlefield, and that is a heavy loss, but the families that never were. Those who did not come back from war. Never had their family, never got married, had children, or maybe they were married and had one or two children, but no more. And their children that they might have had also, of course, no family for them and on down the line. Planned Parenthood finally acknowledging, yeah, we've got a racial issue with Margaret Sanger. You're just now recognizing it? You're just now recognizing it? She had made it clear from the beginning what her intent was. I read you her quote of what she was suggesting. And that was basically to, as she described them, the gradual suppression, elimination, eventual extinction of defective stocks. Read that, defective people. Or as she called them, human weeds, which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization. This is what's been sold to the world, and in particular to the black community, that this is what you need to consider. That's why most of them set up in minority neighborhoods. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, on the stats that they do have, African-American women making up 13% of the female population, 13% of the overall female population in our nation. And abortions tracked through 2016 show that they are for constitute 38% of all abortions. We took that walk. You accepted it. You drank the Kool-Aid for Margaret Sanger and the rest of them, those of you who did. We'll take a break, and again, the concern and claims that Donald Trump is trying to start a race war. Stand by, please.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That is why we are here today, to answer the pleas of those crying for justice and crying for help for those people in Chicago and other cities where we'll be. Help is on its way.
The words of President Trump yesterday, launching Operation Legend. Operation Legend, named on behalf of a four-year-old boy by the name of Legend Taliaferro, who was killed in Kansas City last month. The four-year-old had survived a heart surgery, open heart surgery at 4 months of age, an only child, and his mother appeared yesterday saying, "I thank the president for Operation Legend, naming it after my son, and that we believe in Operation Legend, that it will be good and help stop some of the violence occurring. Too late for my son." The Chicago mayor and other politicians in Chicago and other blue cities and states where the president's made it clear, "I will send in federal agents if necessary if you do not get control of your violence in your streets to protect your citizens. If maybe you just can't do it, or you don't want to do it, or you've handcuffed the police in so many ways they can't do their job." Illinois Congressman Bobby Rush among those saying, "I don't want any federal agent sent to our city," as the same thing has been echoed by Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. But Congressman Bobby Rush goes the next step. He goes the next step in saying, really what's at play here, President Trump wants a race war.
I think that when Trump is really trying to do, my friend, I think that Trump is really trying to instigate a race war. Trump wants to instigate a race war. He want to have black folks fighting white folks so he can rise up and say, "I'm the real grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, and I'm the president. Re-elect me." That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to play to the fears, to the racial animus that exists among certain white people, and he would do everything and anything to that, because he wants to be reelected.
The words of Congressman Bobby Rush, Democrat of Illinois, on a radio interview. I do not know Congressman Rush. I'd mentioned this in the previous hour. I don't know if he has a speech defect or some type, or has suffered some stroke that slurs his speech, but I mean, you certainly don't want to criticize someone for either one of those cases, but look at the facts of what he's saying, or at least it's not the facts, but his statement itself, and weigh that. And he's saying that he believes Trump has a desire to be a grand wizard of the KKK as president. And that's why he wants a race war. And Joe Biden has weighed in on the same thing, suggesting, again, this is what Trump wants. He wants to see blacks and whites go after each other. And he said, just look at Trump's history of being a racist. In fact, Joe Biden claims that Donald Trump is the first racist president we've ever had. Well, we're going to break that issue down in the next segment. We're going to look at more detail as to what Biden is claiming, his claim versus the facts. And while he's also calling out Trump for making racist comments, trying to mock people, racism, and attack them because of their color or their place of origin, Joe Biden has done similar things. He does not want you to remember what he's done. And I'm sure Obama wished he hadn't. But I'll remind you when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's been a hard day's night. I've been working all like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I've been sleeping like a log. But when I get on with you, I find the things that you do make me feel alright. Now I work.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What President Trump has done in going his spreading of racism, the way he deals with, yes, with people based on the color of their skin, their national origin, where they're from, is absolutely sickening. Yes. No sitting president has ever done this. Never, never, never. No Republican president has done this. No Democratic president. We've had racists, and they've existed. They've tried to get elected president. He's the first one that has.
So says Joe Biden. He was speaking to Service Employees International Union online, SEIU, which, of course, had teased the event as Biden walks a day in our shoes because it's a great liberal organization and they hold as much power as they can across the nation and a voting bloc. So he's going to cater to them and try to win them over as well. Well, he's going to anyway. He's the Democrat candidate. And a good way to get in even deeper with him is call Trump being a racist. And then he makes that remark, we've had racists, they tried to get elected president, but he's the first one who has. Has Trump owned any slaves? Just a first question. Because when Biden makes that remark, he's obviously ignoring presidents that have been elected that did own slaves. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and others on record as owning slaves. Would you say they were racist if they owned slaves? But again, Trump's got to be the bad guy this time. So why not go ahead and make that remark? I guess he thought he'd get away with it. Even Jake Tapper at CNN had to put up a little statement saying, the 12 U.S. presidents who owned slaves would like a word with Joe. Another political posting. Biden doesn't think Woodrow Wilson resegregating the federal government and showing the pro-KKK film, Birth of a Nation, at the White House was racist. Doesn't think FDR throwing Japanese Americans in internment camps was racist. But Trump saying China virus makes him the only racist POTUS, President of the United States. Of course, Wilson served in the 20th century. He supported segregation, imposed it on several federal agencies, as we were just stating. And yes, he did show the Birth of a Nation a notoriously racist film glorifying the KKK at a White House screening. So the Trump campaign obviously hit back at Biden, saying that attack was outrageous. And a statement from a campaign senior advisor to Trump: this president loves all people, works hard to empower all Americans, is supported by more black voters than any Republican presidential candidate in modern history. No one should take lectures on racial justice from Joe Biden. Biden's campaign senior advisor, when the word was put out again, say, are you forgetting these 12 other presidents? The campaign advisor stated, yes, there have been a number of racist American presidents, but Trump stands out, in especially in modern history. See, that's how they try to do it. Because he made running on racism and division his calling card and won. He did not run on racism and division. It's a narrative that keeps getting spread. I didn't vote for Hillary. I voted for Trump. But I didn't vote for Trump because I wanted a white nation. In fact, every Trump supporter I know voted for him because either, one, they didn't want Hillary. Two, they thought, at least let's give this guy a try. Let's see if he can do anything and really shake things up. Whatever. But if you voted for Trump, you already know you're being called a racist. Jemele Hill, formerly of ESPN, who's now heading up the Netflix project or whatever it is on behalf of Colin Kaepernick, has already stated, if you voted for Trump, you're a racist. There's no wiggle room. So I guess that means blacks and other minorities who voted for Trump, you're a racist. And you have no wiggle room. But again, the spokesman for Biden says Trump deliberately foments both racism and division. Well, let's go back to some remarks from Biden and start breaking it apart for you. Biden.
What President Trump has done in going his spreading of racism, the way he deals with people based on the color of their skin, their national origin, where they're from, is absolutely sickening.
Absolutely sickening. The way he talks about them, deals with where they came from. Joe Biden is forgetting some remarks that he's made at one point. Listen again to Joe Biden on this point.
What President Trump has done in going his spreading of racism, the way he deals with people based on the color of their skin, their national origin, where they're from, is absolutely sickening. No sitting president has ever done this. Never, never, never. No Republican president has done this.
Well, Biden, of course, is not a president, but he's made similar remarks, as have other presidents, Republican and Democrat, I'm sure, at some point. But Biden, when he's calling Trump out for making remarks and mocking people and their heritage and where they're from, do you remember, if you don't, let me help you remember, Joe Biden is a U.S. Senator from Delaware, of course, at the time, in 2008, and he was at a gathering and decided to mock and make fun of those from India who were now in the state of Delaware, and specifically referenced 7-Eleven stores and Dunkin' Donuts stores. The words of Joe Biden.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. It's a fully, I'm not joking.
Really? You don't think that was a racist remark? Well, of course it was. And he later had to come back around and say, well, I it wasn't intended to be racist. I was trying to state a fact. As again, here Biden and his remark of accusing Trump.
What President Trump has done in going his spreading of racism, the way he deals with people based on the color of their skin, their national origin, where they're from, is absolutely sickening.
Would you consider his remarks about those from India and the state of Delaware. You can't go into 7-Eleven if you don't speak the Indian language, because they own all of them. They're running them and the Dunkin' Donuts. Is that not a racist statement and sickening? I guess it depends on your perspective. Well, what about what Joe Biden had to say about Barack Obama? Joe Biden, in 2007, was dealing with officially announcing he was going to run for president at the time, but he suddenly had to start backing up on some remarks he'd made to the New York Observer about Democrat opponents. He was quoted as evaluating presidential rivals Senator Hillary Clinton, former Senator John Edwards, Senator Barack Obama, but his remarks about Obama, the only African-American serving in the U.S. Senate, and of course running for the White House, those remarks, Joe, did you forget those remarks?
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African-American who was articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy.
He, Barack Obama, mainstream African-American, articulate, bright, clean, a nice-looking guy. And he went on to say, that's storybook, man. But when the flack started, he said, I deeply regret, in a statement, I deeply regret my remark if it's offensive, hurt anyone. It was not my intent. I expressed that to Senator Obama. Biden later called reporters in a press conference, said that remark was taken out of context. It was taken exactly as you heard it. That's exactly what he said. But he's now trying to say in his correction of Obama's fresh, he's new, he's smart, he's insightful. I really regret some of that was taken totally out of context. My use of the word clean. So then he's trying to explain that. He said, my mother had an expression, clean as a whistle, sharp as a tack. Obama later said, when he was questioned, said, I don't think Biden meant to offend anyone. He called me. I told him it wasn't necessary. We got more important things to do. And Obama later said he was very gracious. I have no problem with Joe Biden. But he did later in a written statement add that Biden's comments, he said, I'm not taking them personally, but they are historically inaccurate. African-American presidential candidates like Jesse Jackson, Shirley Chisholm, Carol Moseley Braun, and Al Sharpton gave a voice to many important issues through their campaigns, and no one would call them inarticulate. Maybe Biden didn't think that they were clean. I don't know. And even Jesse Jackson later said, I don't think Biden's a racist. I don't think he meant it as off color, but it is highly suggestive. And what did they do then? They gave him a pass. Gave him an absolute pass. Obama could have nailed him to the wall. But libs with libs will give you a pass. Wait to hear how the lib media treats real news. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You would think even liberal media outlets would cover a major news story that's right in front of them. They've got to cover it. They may put their spin on it. You can expect that, but they're going to cover the story, aren't they? I mean, if it's something right in front of you, how could you possibly ignore it? Let me point out a couple occasions. Just recently, that shooting that happened outside a Chicago funeral home earlier this week. Those who were relying on CNN and MSNBC never knew anything about it. And the story broke during their primetime programs when Cuomo's on the air, followed by Don Lemon Fruitcake. And I don't know who's hosting MSNBC. Oh, Rachel Maddow. She ignored it. What was she doing that was so big? Well, she was criticizing President Trump's response to the coronavirus pandemic. But Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, they also didn't mention it's happening right then. They had to know it because they obviously had people on their staff who monitor the opposition. Every network and news organization does that. Always have monitors up on the competition to see, hey, look where they are. We've got to get over there. You know what Fox News did? And I'm not trying to praise Fox News. I'm just trying to show you the difference of covering actual news. They were doing an interview with the White House press secretary on Hannity about 8:15 Central Time. When the word got to them, they suddenly broke in and started a panel discussion about that shooting as the news began to unfold. They even cut short an interview with Senator Ted Cruz to air more news at a news conference that happened at 8:30 Central Time. CNN, MSNBC even ignored the news conference. They absolutely walked away from it. In their mind, we're not going to bother ourselves with it. We've got to talk about Trump, how he's dealing with COVID or not dealing with it. Come on, Larry, you're just picking a fight, aren't you? Okay, all right. Then how about this? I told you at the beginning of this hour, and I reported on it yesterday as well, about the Planned Parenthood headquarters in New York City deciding to take Margaret Sanger's name off their flagship abortion clinic, recognizing in a statement, recognizing that she was racist and she was all about exterminating black babies, eugenics in the beginning. That's a major blockbuster story. I didn't ever see it on even the CNN webpage. I didn't get a chance to watch CNN and the rest of them yesterday. Did they do a story on it? I obviously don't know. But I looked at their webpage. I never saw it on their webpage. Let's look at today's webpage, the very latest update. What do I see? Republicans rejecting Trump's demand on something to deal with the stimulus package. Judge ruling to unseal documents in the case against Ghislaine Maxwell. Cohen getting home confinement. Portland mayor tear gassed after speaking with protesters. And they go all through these kinds of things. And I'm, okay, well, this was news that broke yesterday, so they don't need to have it at the top. So it must be in some of the stuff they have later on, because they obviously have other stories they cover deeper down that were older maybe. And sure enough, down here, oh, there's a breaking story. I need to give you this. The story has broken that Washington Redskins are just going to be known as the Washington team. The NFL Redskins will now officially be called the Washington Football Team, pending adoption of a new name. Now, that does appear on the CNN website. What else do they have that they had previously that maybe they are still keeping in play because it's a big story? Let me see. They've got a Chile wants COVID-19 sniffer dogs. Plans for a large underwater research station. Ex-UConn basketball star found dead at 32. They got the latest on Kim Kardashian. That's a story that they're still carrying several days old now. And they've got other stories. Starbucks changing the most annoying thing about the rewards. All of these are still on there. Nothing, not one word about the abortion founding father, woman, Margaret Sanger's name being ripped from her own abortion clinic, the one that was to be her flagship, and what it means. And that pointing out they got caught with the biggest racial issue of anyone, of statues being torn down. Not only against blacks, but destroying the lives of blacks. It's not on CNN's webpage anywhere I find. I'm not going to bother looking at the other liberal media. This is a legitimate news story, and they walk away from it because it is the kind of thing that doesn't look good for Democrats and birth control, and they're all into that. And they ignore the Chicago mass shooting because it would have interfered with trying to, again, destroy Donald Trump over the pandemic. may not be fake news, folks. It just may not be news to them and therefore not to you. I do appreciate you listening. I hear so many folks coming up to me constantly telling me they like the program. I do thank you for that. Please spread the word to others. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.